Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
But let's start this afternoon in Limerick, and the inquest into the death of 16-year-old Aoife Johnston has heard of on-call consultants refusing to attend Limerick's University Hospital on the night she died, and of disagreement among managers as to whether they should always be on site. In another emotional day of evidence, grieving family members of the Shannon schoolgirl left the court in tears as a former manager broke down in her testimony. Limerick Coroner's Court has also heard how a separate inquiry into Aoife's death has led to changes at the hospital since the tragedy, but overcrowding remains a major problem there. John Cook joins us now from the courthouse in Kilmallock. And John, the inquest is ongoing this evening, but you heard from a consultant microbiologist in the last while. What was the evidence?
Yeah, there are many witnesses this afternoon, Cormac, and recently Dr. Patrick Stapleton, the consultant microbiologist at the University of Limerick Hospital, who was on call on the weekend of Aoife's death, spoke of receiving a call at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday, December 18th. That's the morning after Aoife had arrived at the emergency department. Previous evidence informed us that she had arrived just after 5 o'clock the previous evening with a GP letter notifying the emergency department of suspected sepsis, but wasn't seen by a doctor until 6 a.m. the following morning, and didn't get antibiotics until after 7:15 a.m. the following morning. Under cross-examination from Damien Tansey, senior counsel, Dr. Stapleton was asked, did you know that she was 15 hours in the hospital when she had sepsis when she arrived, but was 15 hours there before she got antibiotics? And Dr. Stapleton agreed that sepsis is a medical emergency. It needs to be identified and treated straight away, he said. Mr. Tansey asked, is it almost 100% fatal if it's untreated? Dr. Stapleton said a delay of 2 hours or more in treating sepsis leads to significant increase in mortality rates. He went on to outline how the pathogens in her system were amenable to antibiotics, common antibiotics such as penicillin, he said. Was it possible to say, Damien Tansey asked, if she'd got those antibiotics in time, that we wouldn't be here today? Dr. Stapleton said it wasn't possible to say, though he said it was highly likely the outcome would have been different if Aoife had been given antibiotics in an appropriate and timely manner, Cormac.
The inquest heard from one representative, John, of management at the hospital this afternoon, but first a former manager.
Yes, Cormac, and there's been criticism of the lack of witnesses here from the executive management team at the University of Limerick Hospital Group, who are still on that team and were on it at the time of Aoife's death. That's some of the criticism coming from Damien Tansey on behalf of the Johnston family this evening. But in earlier evidence today, Fiona Steed began her evidence by clarifying her position. It's an issue that's been raised many times by her own legal counsel, Ciara Daly, as well throughout this week. And there have been explanations of what was described as a complicated management structure at the hospital in previous evidence. Fiona Steed said that not now or ever have I been a member of the executive management team at the University Hospital Limerick. She said she was on the executive on call on the night of Aoife's death, but explained that with a physiotherapy background, she was not a nurse or a doctor. She'd taken up one of a number of general manager roles at the hospital group. It wasn't a clinical role, she said, and she now no longer works there. She works as chief health and social care professional at the Department of Health. But she agreed, in the role of exec on call, as it was described by other staff, on the night of December 17th, 2022, a role which did not require attendance on site, but is on call to support the assistant director of nursing to deal with situations at the hospital. So she was the person called by the assistant director of nursing on the night the ED became extremely overcrowded, Aoife Johnston waiting with up to 190 patients, as we've heard. She was told by the nurse that the emergency medicine consultant on call had declined a request to come in to deal with high volumes of patients, as did the paediatric consultant on call, though he came in 2 hours later. Ms. Steed said she advised advised the surgical day ward should be opened to take extra patients, that patients on trolleys should be removed to move to each ward, an extra trolley should be sought from the cath lab, and endoscopy if required, among the measures she advised to ease pressure on the ED. She said she contacted the clinical director of medicine by text to inform him that the emergency department consultant on call had refused to come in. Asked under cross-examination by Damien Tansey for the Johnston family if she should have come in herself to what was described by other staff as a chaotic emergency department akin to a war zone, Ms. Steed said she or other on-call general manager colleagues were not usually required to attend on site unless in a major emergency like a fire. Asked if a chaotic, overcrowded emergency department where a 16-year-old girl lay dying from a treatable illness was not a major emergency, Ms. Steed said the words major emergency or chaos were never conveyed to her in calls by the Assistant Director of Nursing on the night of Saturday the 17th, but they were the following night, Sunday the 18th. I now know and accept, she said, conditions in the ED were unprecedented. I didn't at the time. Asked about her text to the Clinical Director of Medicine regarding the consultant not coming in when asked, Ms. Steed said she was escalating their refusal to come in to their line manager. She had no power to compel medical doctors to come in as a general manager, and she said she had a fundamental difference of opinion for some time with emergency department consultants and the clinical director, as she felt that emergency medicine consultants should have been on site at all times. Defending her actions in a very lengthy deposition, Ms. Steed said that on the night she gave advice that would have taken up to 30 or 40 patients out of the ED. She now knows that her advice was not acted on. Trolleys were not moved to the wards and only 12 transfers took place. I wrongly and regrettably presume my advice was followed that night, she said. She learned of Aoife Johnston's deteriorating condition the following morning, with Mr. Tansey asking her, did you learn too that she came in at 5 o'clock with sepsis and that she wasn't given antibiotics for 15 hours and 15 minutes? Yes, replied Miss Steed. Asked if she was moved by this and what she did next, Fiona Steed broke down in tears. She said, I've been moved by Aoife Johnston's death every night and every day since. I look at my own daughter and I realise how lucky I am to have my daughters at this point. Members of Aoife Johnston's family, who were sitting through this long inquest for 3 days now, became visibly upset too. And her sister Megan rose to her feet, shouting, we have to go home without seeing her, before leaving the courtroom in tears, Cormac. And the coroner, John McNamara, called for a short unplanned break at that stage.
It sounds like a very emotional testimony, John. Was there further cross-examination of Ms. Steed after that break?
Yeah, after a few minutes, the court was told Aoife Johnston's sister Megan would prefer to stay outside. Fiona Steed's cross-examination continued, with Damien Tansey challenging her on what he described as her wide-ranging powers as a general manager for the exec on call, he said, at the hospital to escalate any situation, he said. She replied that wasn't the role that she could escalate any situation. She said she escalated the situation to the chief of medicine regarding consultants not coming in, and the clinical director of nursing was involved in the situation too. I accept it didn't help, she said. Asked about overcrowding in the emergency department, she said, yes, it impacts on the capacity of the emergency department in Limerick to function effectively and provide safe care. Yes, it was the situation then and since then. And finally, she was asked if it's still the same situation. Conor Halpin, senior counsel for the University Hospital Limerick, objected. He said Ms. Steed shouldn't answer this and couldn't answer this. She can't say if overcrowding is still a problem if she doesn't work there. In response, Damien Tansey said, sure, the whole country knows that overcrowding is a problem in Limerick, before Fiona Steed left the witness box, offering sympathies once again to the Johnston family. Not hollow condolences, she said. I know they're of no comfort. I'm so sorry what happened to Aoife. She was beautiful. I'll never forget her. It's completely altered my approach to everything in life and to my own daughter, she said, Cormac.
Evidence was also given, I believe, John, about changes that have happened at University Hospital Limerick as a result of Aoife Johnston's death.
Yes, and Dr. Damien Ryan, emergency department consultant, the clinical director for urgent and emergency care at the University of Limerick Hospital Group, it would appear, is the only current member of executive management to give evidence to this inquest, though he was not on duty in this role or on duty at the time that Aoife Johnston died. He said he was there to give an update on recommendations made in a separate review into Aoife Johnston's death, the Systems Analysis or Hamilton Review, which followed Aoife's death and made 9 recommendations. 6 of them have been implemented or closed off, he said, but 3 are outstanding. I'll just go through a few of them, Cormac. Mm-hmm. The first is a zero tolerance approach to admitted patients waiting in the emergency department. I suppose taking up trolleys or beds, boarders in the emergency department is how they've been referred to by staff here. Unfortunately, though, he said, capacity at University of Limerick Hospital still remains an issue. Compliance on this depends on 2 new 96-bed blocks, 1 to be delivered next year. He said the Minister for Health has recently announced substantial investment into services in the Midwest, but it won't be possible to deal with this zero-tolerance approach to extra patients waiting longer than they should for admission in the emergency department until those new beds are provided. There were also recommendations about extra staffing levels for nurses and for non-consultant hospital doctors. He says those numbers have increased significantly in recent months and weeks. Also for sepsis management, communication training for staff and how they respond to critical incidents as well. And finally, Cormac, in cross-examination by Damien Tansey, once again, Dr. Ryan said, yes, overcrowding is still a problem across Ireland, he said, but it is more pronounced in the hospital in Limerick. It's different now, though, he said, to when Aoife died, because patients are more equally distributed across the hospital rather than concentrating all the risk in the emergency department. It won't be resolved, he said, until extra beds are provided. And offering his condolences to the grieving Johnston family, he said, you can see the profound effect that Aoife Johnston's death has had on all staff at the hospital in Limerick, and a lot of what we do in the future will be in Aoife's memory.
Okay, John, thanks for that report. That's John Cook reporting from Limerick Coroner's Court in Kilmallock there.